Good morning, everyone. The Carolina Outdoors, Bill Barty is back. Don Yeager on assignment. We all know what that means. He's turkey hunting. South Carolina turkey hunters rejoice. Spring has begun, and Don's out there in the woods. TJ and I thought maybe he was making the third coming of the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, I'd watch that so well.
Oh, it reminds me, whenever the Blair Witch Project came out, in the beginning of social media, websites, and all of that sort of thing, they really buzzed that movie up a lot. And if you haven't seen it, we're going to talk to Matt Long later on about the Appalachian Trail. And part of it was filmed up there in Maryland and in that area, in the woods. It's essentially a ghost story camping trip gone awry, so to speak. But the famed comedian Chris Rock, the movie took $50,000 to make, and it made millions after that, of that $50,000. But Chris Rock, the comedian, was quoted as saying, if that movie took $50,000 to make, all I have to say is somebody's got $49,000 in their pocket. So anyway, Don Yeager will be back with us on the Carolina Outdoors next week. Hey, it's springtime. We're in the ends of March. Turkey season has begun in South Carolina. So many more of us are outdoors as the springtime weather is upon us, and we'll spend more and more time outdoors as we evolve through the season of spring. And with that comes allergies. And where do these allergies come from? And what is the great emitter of allergies, especially involving pollen? When you have to go clean out your car, or you have that headache or the sniffly nose or all of that sorts of things. And we're going to find out right now with Ruth Ann Grissom. She is a contributing naturalist with the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. We're going to find out about that right now with Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks, Bill. Good morning.
Ruth Ann, tell us, before we kick off our conversation about these trees, the red cedar, and all of that sort of thing, tell us about the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. What is that, and your role as a contributing writer to them?
Well, it's a center at UNC Charlotte, and they study development, social, health, economic issues in the greater Charlotte region. And as part of that, they like to also look at what's at stake in the rural parts of the Charlotte region. And that's why they bring on naturalists to contribute, to just be a voice to those issues as well.
Well, when last we spoke, and it was an enjoyable conversation about lightning bugs, fireflies, and some of the things that you had seen and reported on regarding that, in similar form, we're going to talk about something called Cedars Aflame with Pollination. It's a most recent article with the UNC Urban Institute that you wrote. Tell us about the red cedar and its effect on us here in the Carolinas, especially.
Yeah, well, I like to say those male red cedars earlier this winter, they go through a phase where they are just smoking hot. They put out a lot of pollen.
In fact, they are one of the most prevalent pollinators or emitters of pollen that are anywhere around us, per your article. Is that right?
Well, they emit vast quantities, but the thing that's really relevant for humans is that the pollen that they do release is particularly lightweight and dusty, and so it travels very long distances, and it's also particularly irritating to our mucous membranes.
Well, and before, well, we know about that. You may hear
all
some of
well.
That. And it's something you never quite get used to. But just as your article on the fireflies, this all starts with things that you see, that you specifically have seen. Tell us, we all learned that where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's right.
But that's not necessarily the case in this. Although these trees are red hot, they aren't
that's
on
right.
fire. Tell us about what you've seen out there in nature as an adult, as a child, stories from your parents. because you explain it very well, these natural occurrences that oftentimes we oversight and don't see. Tell us what you saw that kind of triggered this entire article.
Yeah, well, this was just in mid-February, and I have to say this is the first time I've ever witnessed this phenomenon. So I've been around for many, many years, and this was a special occurrence for me to witness. So, yeah, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, I think. I was out in the yard at our house out in the Uaries on a beautiful Sunday morning that was abnormally, unseasonably warm, as much of our winter has been. But there was this lively breeze out of the northwest, and it was still quite, the breeze was cool, but the sun was warm, and it was just beautiful. And I was looking out across our field of native warm season grass that was due to be burned, you know, any day at that point. And native grasses are always so beautiful when they're backlit by the sun. And suddenly, at the edge of the field, I just started seeing puffs of smoke. And it was a little odd, because knowing that that field was due to be burned and those grasses were just tinderbox dry, I did have some concern initially that, oh my God, the field is already on fire. But the wind was at my back and was carrying the smoke away from me and sort of across the road and across another little field of early successional growth. And it just hit the base of the mountain across the road. And I just saw it just churning and rolling in the wind up the slope of the mountain. And within a few minutes, the puffing had stopped and the smoke had dissipated, and it just suddenly was very hazy. And especially you could see that haze just backlit because of the sun. And I think I would have been particularly concerned had I not heard my mom and dad talk about having a similar experience a few years prior. So I had a sense, based on what they had experienced, that it was in fact cedar trees and not actual fire.
I wasn't paying attention in my physical science class with Miss Owen in Clover High School back in this study, kingdom, phylum, species, all that sort of thing. But male and female red cedar trees, what's the difference? And don't laugh, TJ. What is the difference?
Well, so the male trees emit pollen from these cones that, if you look at the tree, you know, in, you know, mid-February to mid-March, you'll see these tiny little cones, and they emit copious amounts of pollen. The female trees have their cones, which are sort of their flowers, which are similar in appearance, but much, much smaller. There, you really have to examine a branch to see it. But the female tree then has these little flowers that will accept the pollen from the male tree, and then they, from that, they have fertilized the flower, so it will produce the beautiful cedar berry fruits that we see in the fall and winter.
Well, and the eastern red cedar is the Piedmont's only native juniper, and per your article as well, the Ogren Plant Allergy Scale rates more than 3,000 common plants on a scale of 1 to 10. This tree that you saw emitting this pollen and this big smoky haze of pollen tops the chart at 10. So it is the most, it's the highest allergen of them all.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And it's kind of odd, because I think when you're talking mid-February, most people aren't thinking that they're into allergy season yet. But yeah, Definitely when the cedars start to bloom, if you are prone to allergies, you need to be taking your allergy medication. In fact, I've heard an allergist say, from Valentine's Day to Memorial Day, and that really was very much borne out for me this year when I saw this pollen.
Well, and this year was exceptional because it was a little bit warm and early, and so maybe those trees thought it was spring, just like us people, earlier than
That's
expected.
Right.
Hey, check out the article. We've got it posted up, Facebook, website, Twitter. It is very interesting as we find out not only about the pollination of these red cedars, but also how important they are to our Carolina and Piedmont ecosystem. Thank you so much, Ruth Ann Grissom, for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors.